Hallelujah. The Bible says in Isaiah, because of the anointing, the yoke shall be destroyed. When we pray in the Holy Ghost like we're doing, things are being destroyed by the Spirit that you may not even have full knowledge about. But God, who is God, knows how to make everything right. Hallelujah. Glory. One of the things God's been doing this year is people with metal parts have been melting and disappearing out of their bodies. And we got x-rays, they're bringing them back. One woman from clear back when she's a child, she had a metal, what do you call it, plate in the wrist and bones with screws. One night, she came up for prayer. She said, I can't move my wrist. I said, how come? She said, there's a metal plate since I was a girl. And she was in, maybe her 80s. And when I took it, I felt the screws disappear under my fingers. I felt it. And then I just started turning her arm every which way. She said, I can't do it. I said, well, you're doing it now. She went and got x-rays, brought them back to my wife. The metal, the screws, all disappeared. That was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Then another young man had a metal rod over 6 inches put in his back. His name's Bradley Flook. And he was going through the airport. This was after prayer, and they were scanning him. And he said, your machine's broken. And the TSA said, it's not broken. He said, yeah, I got a 6-inch metal rod in my back. They scanned him and said, you don't have a rod. He went back to Walter Reed Hospital near our nation's capital. When they checked, not only was the rod gone, he had 4 new discs that had been removed where the rod had been placed. God made it fail. God made it fail. And then you think of the number of people got saved when they heard about it. John chapter 2, many, everybody say many, believed on his name, shout his name, when they saw the miracles which he did. These things are not done by denominationalism, by a preacher, by a church. These things are done by the power of the Holy Spirit. For the Bible tells us, Paul said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. God does not put any premium on ignorance. But the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. In our Atlanta meeting, one of the running backs for the Falcons, what was his name, son? Terrence Matthews. I don't know. He's a nice man. He said, can I get up on the platform with you, Brother Shuttlesworth? I said, sure. I even brought a football, which I had, because the Falcons had given me tickets to give out to the people. What are you so happy about? Amen? Were you in the meeting? Who was the running back? I think his name was Terrence or maybe Jones or something. Hallelujah. Huh? Let's see. That was 2015. But he was there too, Brother Lewis. But anyhow, this guy had all the running records when he got out of Georgia, out of the college. So anyhow, he gives his testimony. We'll figure his name out later. I got it somewhere. And he says, since I've gotten saved, there's an anointing on me. He said, even to play ball. All those young people, we were right in the hood there near Turner Field on Gray parking lot. And we had about 1,500, 2,000 people, many young people. So when he was giving his testimony, you could see the Spirit working. Everybody say, the Spirit's working tonight. And they weren't there just for the tickets, but they did come. And so she wasn't the mayor then. Her name was Keisha Bottoms. And she helped me because the mayor then, I think his name was Rashim or I don't know. It was a Muslim name. And he said, the only way you can come is if you give me 20 grand. I said, check her cash. He didn't expect that. I think he wished he asked for more. Well, the guy that runs all the Waffle Houses in Atlanta, about 65 of them, Brother Glenn come to me. He said, the Lord told me to give you a check for $25,000. And so within 24 hours, I paid the mayor so I could go to Turner Field and preach. They didn't even let Franklin Graham there. But we went. So Keisha helped us. And I got so blessed one night. I said, sister, God's going to make you the mayor of Atlanta. Oh, Lord, no, she said. And then in January of the next year, I get a call from Alvin, her lawyer, and he said, they just elected her the mayor of Atlanta. Amen. Now, you can say what you want, but I believe the Holy Ghost put her in. Glory to God. She helped God's people. She helped bring the gospel out. The point I'm making, here's someone from the NFL. Here's someone from politics. Here's someone from the church world. All working together to bless the people. The word of the Lord came to me when the anointing was flowing like this in a recent meeting. God said, I have something against my church. You don't want God to have something against you. Let me see your hand if you know that's right. Say, God, I don't want to have anything in my life that's against you. Here's what the Lord said to me. He said, I have something against my church, for they have gone whoring after politics and have neglected me. And I prophesied it. And wouldn't you know, the mayor of that city was in the tent. They said, he must have been convicted. He said, tell Brother Ted I'm going to give him the key to the city. I said, ask him, does it work at the bank? Glory to God. I tell you, we cannot afford division, schisms, any kind of problems. We need to come together as a people if God's going to do what he wants to do in America. Whether you like it or not, it's the word of the Lord. God says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden in labor. I will give you rest. Hallelujah. They even got me to throw a football. Can you believe that? What was good was I had a good spiral from the platform. Glory to God. But nobody signed me up. I've learned this over the years. This is my 47th year of doing this. And I'll tell you what I've learned. People are people. And they're hungry for a touch of God. Can you say amen? Whew. The body of Christ is a wonderful thing. But our nation can be great if we'll allow the Spirit to do what he wants. You can't have any division. Can't have racial division. If you're black, you should say, black is beautiful. If you're white, you should say, white is wonderful. If you're Hispanic, Hispanics are honorable. Not ornery, honorable. First Nations, Ojibwe, Chippewa, Apache. First Nations, fabulous. Asians, awesome. Everybody is somebody to Jesus. And what the devil tries to use, and he's the father of lies, is to bring division to a generation. Someone say, well, that's the older generation. That's the younger generation. And they even have names. This is Generation Z, and this is Generation Millennial Generation. There's no such thing in the Bible. You have one generation, according to the word of God, that's alive on the earth. Some in that generation are older. Some are younger. Some are black. Some are white. Some are men. Some are women. But it's one generation made up of many components. It's the devil that seeks to divide even in a generation. Why? Because he knows that the unity of a people brings the power of God and the anointing. So the closer we get as the closer Jesus comes, then the greater the anointing if we get rid of prejudice, division, schisms, isms, things the devil uses, denominationalism. It's a prejudice. Well, I'm a Methodist. I'm a Baptist. I'm and some people don't even know what they are. Someone said, what are you? I tell them, I'm a child of God, headed to heaven. Let me see your card. I don't have a card. I even thought about buying, you know, I travel, people say, you know, what denomination, let me see your card. I thought about buying some playing cards and hand them like the jack or a queen or a spade or the number three. Man tries to divide. The anointing brings unity. Now, get this, because on this opening day, this is very important. Everybody say, tomorrow night. With God's help, I'm going to tell you an actual vision I had. I can count on one hand the number of visions I've had in 40-some years. But every one of them's come to pass. But this recent one will affect you. Tomorrow night, don't miss it. I'm just telling you, I don't care if you can't make Tuesday or Wednesday. Get your carcass here on Monday. For the Lord has a word for his people's sake. Glory. 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 Well, the Bible says, because of the anointing, the yoke shall be destroyed. What is the anointing? The anointing is the ability, the capacity, the force, the very force of God brought to bear in the natural realm. It is a supernatural power, the anointing. It's not the power of a man. It's God's power. And he said, I'll share my glory with no man.
Yes.
We have to get very close to Jesus right now, for his coming is very soon. We got to get so close to the Lord that all we think about is his coming. We need to get closer and closer to Jesus. And the anointing will help us to overcome the little foxes that are trying to spoil the vine. You say, oh, that's for her, that's for him. Everybody deals with something that you need the anointing of God's Spirit to help you. You need the ability. You need the capacity. You need the force of Almighty God. Now listen, the anointing is residual. What does that mean? Once you get in the anointing, it never leaves your bones. Never leaves your body. And it builds up. So the more you sit in the anointing, the more anointing gets in you. I can prove to you from the Bible, it's residual. Because you'd have to ask, why did the Apostle Paul send out cloths or aprons to the sick and diseased and those that have devils? It wasn't just cloth that healed and drove the devil out. If it did, y'all got clothes on. There wouldn't be one sick person here if it was the cloth. No, it's what got in the cloth. The anointing. I asked the question of you. How did Paul know to send out cloths and aprons? How did he know? Well, the Bible says he was the Pharisee of Pharisees. And we know that they were taught from the first covenant these principles. We know, for example, the prophet Malachi, for our Italian brethren, Malachi. Malachi knew by prophetic words that when Jesus would come, he said, he shall arise unto you. The Son of Righteousness shall, that's chapter 4. Around verse 2, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Did the Bible say so? Did the prophet say so? Did God tell him to say it? Every Jewish rabbi knew the word wings was the word kanaf, and it means the border or the skirt of a garment. The second meaning, radiant beams. So what they were taught was that the priests, as they would come, so the Son of Righteousness, like Aaron of old, would come within the kanaf, or in the wing, or the skirt, or the border of the garment, radiant power or anointing from God. Paul must have known that since he was trained as a Pharisee. He must have known, wow, God said, I'll anoint cloth to bring healing, radiant beams. He didn't think that up on his own. The word of God has your answer. A woman in Mark 5 was sick, bleeding. The Bible says that she tried many things of many doctors or physicians. Rather than grow better, she grew worse and spent all that she had. If you had no other reason to say God doesn't use doctors, that would be the verse. Because God never fails. I said God never fails. Never. Secondly, he doesn't charge you for your healing. Charles Finney, in his book Revivals of Religion, takes that passage and said, this proves that no move is a sovereign move of God. For if it were, what do you say to the generation who did not have a move? That God loved one generation above another? For he said, according to Peter, I perceive God is no respecter of persons. When Finney gave up his law practice right here in upstate New York and began to go across this state preaching along these lines that everybody belongs to God and God's will is that everyone be set free, that everyone receive Christ, he began to preach a Christ that does not turn anybody away, but whosoever will may come unto him. He talked about tearing up the fallow ground, planting the seed of God's word, Mark chapter 4. He said, we're not concerned about methods, but we're concerned about the means, and the means, he said, is the mighty word of God. Hallelujah. Well, what Finney preached then is still true tonight right here in Clifton Park, New York. The word of God still works, and it brings the ability, the capacity, the force of the Spirit in our midst to drive out every devil.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
How did he know to send Claus? He was trained as a Pharisee. He knew one of the signs of the coming of the Messiah was he'd have healing in his kanaf, or in his garment, in his cloth, in his clothes. Mark 5, the Bible says she'd suffered many things and many physicians, spent all that she had. Next verse, she heard of Jesus. Now notice, this is the gift of faith. For it doesn't say she heard Jesus preach, but she heard of his works. Are you listening to me? And so she came in the press behind. For she said, if I may touch but the kanaf, the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. That woman knew more than some Pharisees knew. How do I know it? She put it to practice. She touched him. Now Jesus at that point didn't even know who touched him. He said, who's touched me? And all the board members of his local team said, Lord, you ask who touched you? All of his followers said, Lord, you don't see the crowd. You say, who's touched you? He said, someone has touched me. The word touch means drawn power. For then it goes on to say, and virtue went out of him into her, and she was made whole. That power, it was released without Christ's knowledge. Why? Because it's residual. It was in the hem of his garment, like Malachi prophesied. Are you listening to me? If I may but touch the hem of his garment. That woman knew more than most theologians today know. You can touch the Lord and he'll touch you. You remember the song I taught you when you were little? We used to sing it. If I may touch but the hem of his garment, I know Christ's blood has made me whole. I know Christ's blood has made me whole. I know Christ's blood has made me whole. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I know Christ's blood has made me whole. You hear me, Pastor Paul? I know Christ's blood has made me whole. I know Christ's blood has made Pastor Paul whole. Oh, if he'll touch the Shikapato no na da bazonko rabaha. Hey, the hem of his garment, I know Christ's blood has made me whole. And here she comes. You can play that, Ted. I like it. So do the people. Can't you tell? They're smiling. She said, if I could just touch him. Here she comes. But there's a crowd. She's got to put her moves on. She's got to square off. There's Doubting Thomas. He goes to give her a slap. She's under his. She touches the hem of his garment without his knowledge, which means the prophecy in Malachi 4:2 was exact. If God tells you something, it works. Hallelujah. She touches him. Now, he doesn't know up until this point. So then it says he turns to see her in whom this thing was done. Notice he said done. Once the anointing gets in you, it finishes whatever needs to be finished. Everybody shout done. It's residual. It gets in you and it stays in you. She comes forward. He said, woman, your faith made you whole. Whose faith made her whole? Whose? Whose? Somebody shout mine. Say, my faith makes me whole. There it is. We have to show God faith. Faith is an action. What was her action? She said, then she touched. She said, then she touched. Faith is an action. Jesus said, woman, great is thy faith. Your faith made you whole. What was the wholeness? Virtue, the anointing. Your faith pulls the anointing out. Now notice, the anointing was in Christ's garment. Malachi prophesied the Messiah would have it in his garment. Paul used cloth or a garment. These are not coincidences. Which means the anointing, what 1 John said, it abides and remains. Every bit of the anointing in here tonight is getting in you, abiding. But the good news, it will remain. Which means the more you sit under the anointing, the more it gets in you. Fill it up, fill it up, fill it up, fill it up. Two prophets are walking. We'll start while I'm talking. Start walking. We're walking up the King's highway. There's joy in knowing with him we're going. Walking up the King's. That's a nice key. I don't know it, but highway. Oh, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. Well, I'm walking up the King's highway. My daughter and my son, they say, Dad, you sing in a different key. Let us sing. But sometimes, Brother Paul, I feel like singing. Hallelujah. I know my voice is getting old and rough, but I started walking a long time ago. I was with Brother Shambach down in the Bronx next to Yankee Stadium on Babe Ruth Field. We had the tent up. And a mother and a father brought their daughter that had no bones in either one of her legs. They carried her. Remember that, Bond? I sat her up on the pulpit. You could take her legs like pretzels and turn them. No bones. You could twist her legs any way you want. She was about, what, 6 or 7, they said? The father was a lawyer. The mother was a lawyer. These people had money. But no operation could put bones in their little 6-year-old girl's legs. Brother Shambach turns to me and said, you're preaching tonight. I said, yeah, but go ahead and you pray for the girl. Oh, no, he said, if you're preaching, you got to do the praying. Remember that? I get up. I don't have a word. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I hear this song. Oh, start while I'm talking. Start walking. Walking up the King's highway. There's joy in knowing with him I'm going. I'm walking up the King's Highway. Well, it's a highway to hell. And the whole crowd starts singing, none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. Well, we're walking up the King's. Now, I had to be God. I get this idea. Take the girl, like when your kids were little, and start walking her, even though there's no bones. So I take her off the podium. Oh, the man's there. Brother Shamrock's there. Preachers are there. Thousands of people are there in the Bronx. The Yankees are playing. I hear them. So I'm singing this, and I'm walking her a little bit. And her legs are all flubbery. No bone. I would go back, and I sing the second part. Oh, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. Lord, I'm walking up the King's. So I go a third time. And as I do, Bonnie will tell you, all of a sudden, you see her legs straighten right out. I'm holding her, and she runs out of my hands and jumps into the arms of her mother. Isn't that what happened? And suddenly, God has put bone in that child's legs, both legs. You talk about having church. We had church that night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because it's not by natural might, and it's not by your power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Come on, clap your hands and shout. It's a highway to heaven. Well, none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. Well, I'm walking up the King's Highway. While I'm talking, start walking, walking up the King's Highway. Well, there's joy in knowing with Him I'm going, walking up the King's Highway. Well, it's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a follower, Elisha. Elijah turns to Elisha and says, go home. That's a real encouragement. Don't bother me. Go home. He said, wherever you go, I'm going. So first they go down to Gilgal. It means in the Hebrew, the place of the cutting away. Get rid of your flesh. If we're going to have this anointing in the last hour, we got to get rid of the flesh. Too many people are singing in the flesh, preaching in the flesh, doing things in the flesh. We just need to yield to the Holy Ghost. Someone say, yield to the Holy Ghost. Stay here. He said, as the Lord liveth, I'm going with you. And the Bible says, they too, everybody say too, they too went on. They get from Gilgal. Now, they go to Bethel. That means the place of God's presence, the house of God. They get there, the sons of the prophets nearby. Don't you know the Lord's going to take him off your head today? But they're up there. He's with the man of God. When you get your flesh under, then you're going to have a visitation of the presence of God. You'll have a Bethel. Well, he said, what do you want me to do for you? That I might have a double portion of your spirit. That's my prayer. I want twice as much as what you've got. Then the Bible says they come to Jordan. How you doing, buddy? Good to see you. Still serving the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm talking about me, not you. I trust you are too. That's a nice man. I've met him through my son. They get to Jordan. What do you want? I want twice as much as what you got. Sounds a little boastful and proud. But if you know what you want, God will give you what you want. Hear me. They get to Jordan. Elijah inquires of Elisha, what do you want? I want twice as much as what you've got. Let me say something to everybody that's younger than me and Pastor Paul and a few others. It's our job to make sure we got something so that you want something. And that's why I don't like the division in generations. You just have older, younger, black, white, rich, poor. A generation means those that are living. How many of you are alive? May I see your hand? You that are not, stay still. A generation is a generation. It's almost as if people say, well, the young people are the generation of today or tomorrow. Neither one's true. They're not the generation of tomorrow. That hasn't been born yet. They are the generation of today. But if we despise their youth, we cut them off from service. Anybody can be used of God. God even used things in the Bible we wouldn't probably choose. But he did, because he's God. Well, he said, you have asked a hard thing. But if you see me when I go away, you're going to get it. Vision speaks to receiving. If you don't have a vision for this last hour, you won't receive what God's doing in this last hour. But if I can preach and teach and stir you up in such a way to you understand with me that we're living right before the coming of Jesus, and you catch the vision that time's running out, then you're going to be able to receive something you don't have, because God is loading us down daily with blessing. Someone say daily. Say, I'm getting my daily bread. Can't live on past blessing. You got to get something fresh. Someone say fresh. Well, he smites the waters with his cloth. Paul must have known that. Elijah used a cloth to smack the water, and by a miracle, the water rolled back. The woman with the issue of blood, the prophecy of Malachi, the cloth or the cape or the robe of Elijah. These things were known to the Jewish people. Here he comes. And then out of heaven comes a whirlwind. Receives Elijah up. And the Bible says his mantle floated down. And Elisha picked it up. Elijah had how many miracles? Eight. Everybody say eight. Elisha asked for a double portion. But when he died, he only had 15 miracles. That's it. He didn't get the 16th while he was living. They stick him in a grave. Years go by. A war comes. A soldier gets killed. They pick up the soldier and throw his dead body on the bones where Elisha was buried. And when his dead body hit the place where the bones of Elisha was, he sat up and was raised from the dead. Miracle number 16. I said miracle number 16. But if Elisha was dead, how did the anointing touch that man unless it was still residual in the bones of Elisha? By revelation, the Lord's been speaking to me. He said, in these last days, every time there's a service, I will be downloading the anointing into people's bodies. And when you get so filled with the anointing, no sickness will be able to get in you. When you get so filled up with the anointing, it'll rejuvenate your cells. Someone said, but age is working against you. But the Bible says he'll renew your youth daily. It's by the anointing. I said, it's by the anointing. Hallelujah. You come and sit in the anointing, and you download that anointing, and it quickens your body. It gets in your cells. It gets in your organs. It gets in your eyes. It gets in your heart. It gets in your bones. Oh, hallelujah. It is the quickening anointing. anointing of the Holy Ghost.